our hurts, habits, and hang-ups and give them a new and useful purpose, there's a reality about God's nature that we must come to peace with. For God to recycle the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, there is a reality about his nature that we must come to grips with, that we must make our peace with. And here's the reality: God's not fair. God is holy. He's just. He's faithful. He's full of mercy. His love is unfailing. But God's not fair. And until we understand and accept that, it will be very difficult for us to know God's forgiveness and share his forgiveness. It will be very difficult for us to allow God to recycle the hurt from our, the pain from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups to help others. Some of you are wondering how I can stand here and say that God isn't fair. Let's look at a couple of Jesus stories. Matthew chapter 25. He wants to teach us something about the nature of God, so he talks about a master who had three servants. The master represents God. Jesus said the master with his three servants gives to the first one 5 talents. Standing next to that servant is another, and he gives to that servant 2 talents. Next to that is a third and final servant, and that servant is given 1 talent. The third servant with 1 talent makes poor choices, and the 1 talent that he has is taken away and given to the other who has more than the rest. That's not fair. Another Jesus story out of Matthew 20 speaks of a master with fields that need to be harvested. Again, the master represents God. And in the Jesus story, he says the master hired a worker at 8 o'clock in the morning who faithfully worked all day. He needed more help, so at noon he hired another worker, worked through the afternoon. At 4 o'clock, still needing more help, he hired a third worker. At 5 o'clock, at the end of the day, they were all brought in. They were given their thanks and their pay, but they all received the same amount of pay. The one who started at 8 o'clock and said, I've been working all day, it's not fair that the one who just started an hour ago gets the same amount of money as I do. And Jesus said, I know, it's not fair. But that is the nature of God's love. If we're going to come to grips with a God who wants to take the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we need to make our peace that God isn't always fair. Let's lean into the trust in the room, and this will be very tender, I know. God gives each of us gifts, but he doesn't give us the same giftedness. Some of you have the gift of a love of basketball, but we don't all have the same giftedness. I don't see Michael Jordan in the room. Pastors are given gifts, but not all pastors are given the same giftedness. Musicians each have a gift, but they don't have the same level of giftedness. Scholars have a gift, but they don't all share the same level of giftedness. I was born in privilege, a white male in this great nation. But I have some dear brothers in Christ that I love and respect who live in parts of the world, probably more faithful than I will ever be, and they must raise their children and their families on an average of $1 a day. That's not fair. Let's lean deeper into the trust in the room. Some among us understand the pain of miscarriage and infertility, yet your dear friends right next to you have had no such difficulty. Some among us in the room understand the pain of an unfaithful spouse, yet right next to you are dear friends who have never experienced such pain. Among us in the room are those who have prayed for healing and our loved one has died, while right next to us is someone who has had the miracle for their loved one that we begged God for our loved one. Some in the room understand the pain of the unsought struggle of depression and anxiety, while right next to you are friends who wake up to the sound of music. Some in the room understand the unsought struggle, the pain of broken and rebellious relationships in your home, while right next to you are dear friends that live with a perpetual halo over their home. God's not fair, but his love is unfailing. And if we can accept that, he has this way of taking what seems like the trash of our pain and recycling it to use it to bring blessing to those around us. You see, our God of unfailing love wants to recycle the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, but for that to happen, we have to make our peace. That God loves you as much as the person next to you, but he may be blessing them in ways he's not blessing you. Is that okay? Our God of unfailing love wants to recycle the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, but for that to happen, we have to make our peace with the reality that God may allow us to go through far more suffering than the person right next to us. Is that okay? Let me say a prayer before we go into any deeper into God's word. Father, help us now in these next few minutes. May it be your voice that we hear. Bring us to the cross. There is level ground at the foot of the cross. Help us to hear and know your voice and your love. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're finishing, completing our series on Celebrate Recovery. It started with a realization that there is a God and I'm not him. Some of you have taken it to heart and you stand in front of the mirror every morning and you repeat that with me. You say, there is a God and I'm not him. And as I say it, Ellen goes, amen. We're powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong thing. And then we are earnestly believing that God exists, that we matter to God, that he has the power to help us recover. And then we consciously choose. We make a choice every day, one day at a time, to commit all of our life, all of our will to God's care and his control. And then we openly, with nothing to hide, begin to examine our lives with the Spirit's help, with a graciously ruthless approach. We examine and confess our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups to God, and we examine and confess our hurts, our habits, and hang-ups to godly, trusted people that he places in our lives. Then we voluntarily, we choose to submit to every change that God wants to bring into our lives. Happiness comes as we desire what God requires. So we ask our God of unfailing love to heal us, to recycle the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And as we do that, we're evaluating. We're evaluating our relationships, and we start with the relationships that are most important in our lives. And in that evaluation, the Lord brings us to a point where we offer forgiveness to those who have harmed us. Forgiveness isn't forgetting, it is releasing. And then in that evaluation, we also go to those that we may have harmed and ask for their forgiveness. Then we reserve a daily time for God. We slow down enough so that we can hear God's voice, his words of love and hope. And then the point of our message this morning, as we continue in these next few moments, we begin to yield ourselves. The pain of the hurts, habits, and hang-ups we've been dragging through life, and we yield ourselves to God so that his purpose can be fulfilled even through our pain, so that God can use our pain to be a blessing, to encourage, to help those around us. He wants to recycle the pain in our life for the benefit of others. Usually we think God only uses the gifted and talented people, but the story is that God uses broken people. And some of the people through the Bible and the story of the church and the story of our day, some of the people that God has used in the most wonderful ways have a story of brokenness that they brought to God and allowed him to recycle as a part of his creation care. Usually we think God wants to use our strengths, and he may, but he also wants to use the vulnerability and humility of our weaknesses. Remember the story, Jesus was in the temple, it's the Sabbath day, and there's a man in the back. He wants to be there, but he's in the back. He doesn't want attention. Why? Because he's got a hand that's shriveled and withered, so he usually walks with it behind his back so people won't even notice. Jesus sees him. He's filled with compassion. The Pharisees notice that Jesus sees him, and they think, oh, he's going to do something on the Sabbath, and then we'll get him good. And Jesus sees the man, and he invites him to come forward, and he looks at the man with the shriveled and the withered hand that he's embarrassed, and he's hiding, and he looks at him, and he says, do you want to be healed? And he says, yes, I do. So God says, hold out your hand. Jesus said, hold out your hand. I wonder if he had a thought, Jesus, is it okay if I hold out my good hand? No. Are you willing to show everybody the weakness in your life so that I can heal it and then use it to encourage others? The man with a withered and shriveled hand held it out, and in the moment he did, it was healed and made whole. And God doesn't want to use just your strengths. He wants to know if we're willing to humble ourselves so that he can use us in our weakness to bless and encourage others. You see, if all we do is tell other people of our strengths, they'll look at us and say, I could never be like that. But if we humble ourselves, and when we say, you know, my name is Roger, and I've had this hurt habit or hang-up, and I can't wait to tell you what God's doing, there will be people around us who will say, I can relate to that. I've got that same struggle. If God can do that for your life, can he do it for mine as well? When we understand that God uses our weaknesses and our pain, life takes on a whole new meaning and depth. See, the proof of our recovery is when we stop focusing on ourselves and we begin to more and more focus on those around us. The proof of celebrate recovery is when it's no longer my needs and my hurts and my problems, and it becomes how? Can I help others? And we tell the story of what God's doing and the change he's bringing. You see, God wants to recycle our experiences to help those around us. So let's take a moment to address the question, why does God even allow pain? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. He said, we were crushed. He's not done. We were crushed and overwhelmed. He's not done. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability. Beyond our ability to endure. We thought we'd never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who even raises the dead. And he did. He rescued us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. Do it again. I heard that song this morning. We've placed our confidence in him. So why does God allow pain? Why isn't God fair? You see, our God of unfailing love has given each of us a free will to make our own choices. It goes all the way back to Deuteronomy, the story of God speaking to Moses, who shared the message with God's people. And God said, all right, today I'm giving you a choice. It's yours to make, blessing or curses. If you do what I say, you'll have blessing. If you disregard the words that I share with you, you won't have blessing. You'll have curses. It's a choice God is offering. That choice extends to us today. Why? Puppets are great for children, but God wanted more than a puppet show. He wanted to have a people that would know the depths of his love, and that only happened in relationships with him and each other if he allowed us a choice. He wanted us to choose to love him voluntarily. We can't say we love somebody unless we also have the choice not to love them. But all of that means that our free will, these choices, they're both blessing and burden. And poor choices cause all kinds of painful consequences in our lives. It's good that we're free. It's good that we can choose, but it's bad because we often choose poorly and suffer because of that. A God of unfailing love looks down and he says, I don't want you to have this pain, but it's part of the package that comes with my allowing you to choose and make your own choices. And here's the next part of that dilemma. God not only gives you free will to choose for yourself, but he gives it to the person next to you as well. And sometimes they make a poor choice, and it harms us. You see it in families. One family member makes a poor choice, and everybody suffers. It happens among friends. It happens in neighborhoods. It happens among strangers. The dilemma, our free will that God provides each of us a choice, is both a blessing and a burden. John 3, the writer said, for this is how God loved the world. He sent his only Son that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. Why does God allow our pain? Our God of unfailing love has given us this free will, this ability to make our own choices. Why does he allow our pain then? Sometimes he allows pain in your life and mine because he wants to get our attention. Like the smoke alarm that goes off in the middle of the night. Your adrenaline starts flowing and instantly on your feet. You don't go to fix the alarm, you go to see why the alarm's going off. Pain is a warning light, a buzzer, an alarm. It's not our problem, it's a symptom of the problem. Sometimes pain is God's megaphone. He whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Why does God allow pain in our lives to get our attention? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said, I am glad you've experienced pain in your life, not because it hurt you, because the pain turned you to God. Why does God allow pain in your life and mine? Because it teaches us to depend on him. Psalm 119, David the psalmist said, it was the best thing that could have happened to me, the pain in his life. Why, David said, because it taught me to pay attention to your voice, your words, your law. We don't know God is all we need until God is all we have. Some lessons are learned only through pain, and sometimes pain is life's greatest teacher. Why does God allow our pain? And now we're coming right to the heart of God's word for us this morning. Why does God allow pain in your life and mine? Because he wants to give us an opportunity to serve. 2 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul again, why does God do this, he says? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort that God gave us. It's not fair. Why does it happen? Because God wants to give you and I an opportunity to serve others. God allows that pain in our lives. It gives us humility and sympathy and sensitivity. And then when we submit to God's healing process, to his creation, care, and recycling of the pain, our pain prepares us to serve. You see, we all need recovery of some type. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Nobody's perfect. Who can better help an alcoholic than somebody who knows the power of God in their lives as they step away from the bottle? Who can better help somebody dealing with the pain of abuse than somebody who knows the power and presence of God helping them recover from their pain of abuse? Who can better help somebody who lost their job and went bankrupt than somebody who's walked with God through that story and they're coming out on the other side with a new hope in God's unfailing love? Who can better help parents who have a child living in rebellion than another parent who's trusted God to take them through that journey? Who can better share words of comfort in times of grief than someone who's walked with God through those dark nights? You see, God wants to, as a part of his creation care, recycle the pain in our lives from the hurts, habits, and hang-ups we've been carrying so that we can help others. But to do that, we have to be honest and open with God and each other. If we keep the hurt to ourselves, we're missing a divine opportunity that God is providing to be a blessing to those around us. So how? Let's keep going deeper. How does God use our pain to help others? 1 Peter chapter 3, if someone asks about the smile on your face, if they ask about the hope that you have, always be ready to explain it, but do it in a gentle and respectful way. Take time to look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and the face that's shining back at you and ask yourself, what is God doing in my story? How is God showing up? And what is the difference that God's making? Open the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to be like a mirror in your life and ask yourself, what is God doing and how is he showing up and what are the changes that he's making? And then get ready. Get ready to share that story with others that God sends to you. What are we learning as we bring our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups, and the pain of all of it to the cross? How is God helping us? How is God changing us? That is why we do pray for one every morning as our eyes open, as we awaken and start the day before our feet hit the floor. We're saying, God, if there's anybody out there desperate to know if you're real, I'll do my best. Please send me to show them your love. That's why we do pray for one, 201. God, if there's anybody out there today that's ready, they are so ready to receive your love. God, would you send me anybody that needs your forgiveness and your healing and your freedom? God, I'll do my best. Would you send me? That's why, because we want to share with them the story of what God's doing in our lives. Hi, my name is Roger. I've battled with this hurt, habit, and hang-up my whole life, and I can't wait to tell you what God's doing. He's changing the whole story. I brought him pain, and this is what he's doing with it, and I think he can do the same for you. God wanting to use our pain to be a blessing, to serve others. God's word in Galatians 6, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, you obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important." So how does God use our pain to help others? First, be humble. You're not all that. Be humble. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We're all on the journey together. We're nothing more than one beggar helping another beggar know where to find bread, and it's the bread of Jesus. We're all in this together, and the best we can do is say, this is what God's doing for me. I think he'll do it for you too. How does God use our pain to help others? He wants us to be real, to be honest about our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I am so grateful for Mike and Kristen and Ron and Annie, who stepped forward and said, you know, God's been speaking to us. We've got these hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We feel like this is a moment when God wants to use us. And they spent some money out of their own pocket. They went to Tennessee. They got some training. They came back. They helped us launch Celebrate Recovery, a men's group on Monday night, a women's group on Thursday night. And people are being changed because of their willingness to be real. And I'm glad this is a safe place where people can be real without fearing shame and guilt, where they can find an endless grace that comes from being the people of God. How does God use our pain to help others? He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be real. And then he wants us to let Jesus be the hero. Let Jesus be the hero of your story. We join Celebrate Recovery because of our pain, but we stay because of the growth, the difference that God is making in our lives. And every time we share our story and let Jesus be the hero, we get a little stronger. Let Jesus be the hero. Don't lecture. Let Jesus be the hero. God wants us to be a witness, not his defense attorney. We don't argue anybody into heaven. We don't force anybody into heaven. The best we can do is say, this is what God's done for me. This is what he's doing. This is what he can do in your story as well. Acts chapter 20, the writer says this. He says, my life, it's worth nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. It's worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. This was the burden, the passion of the Apostle Paul. My life is worth nothing to me unless I finish what God called me to do. Now, who was this guy saying that? He started out as the chief persecutor, a religious terrorist in the life of the church. He made it his life's purpose to go around finding followers of Jesus and hauling them out of their homes and their places of worship. He would persecute and imprison and kill some of them even. And now, one day on the road, he is stopped in his tracks and he's blinded by the call of Jesus. And now this religious terrorist became the first and great missionary of the church. And now he says, my life is worthless unless I can finish the task that God gave me to tell others about his grace. But do you know, my friends, the task that was assigned to him has also been assigned to you and me. Don't mistakenly think that it's a sign from the Apostle Paul to all of the pastors in the hallway. It's a sign to each of us. May all of us be gripped by the passion and the realization that our lives are worthless unless we can spend it finishing the work that God has called us to, and that's telling others about the grace of his unfailing love. God may not be fair, but this is what he's doing in his unfailing love in my story, and this is what he can do in your story as well. We are assigned by our God of unfailing love to go and tell others the difference he's making. Take some time this afternoon and this week to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is God doing and how is God showing up and what are the changes that he's making? And then get ready, because God will send someone our way who needs the words of hope that we can share. The good, the bad, the ugly. Ask God how he can use it all to help those around us. Commit yourself to worship, the demonstration of our love for God. Commit yourself to community, whether it's a Sunday class or a small group in a home or a Celebrate Recovery meeting. Commit yourself to community where we show our love for one another. Commit yourself to service where we show our love for the world. Last weekend, 1,028 Thanksgiving baskets going out to our community, showing the practical, personal, powerful love of our God. Pray for one. Every morning before your feet hit the floor, say, God, if there's anybody out there desperate to know if you are real, God, I'll do my best. Please send me. Pray for 1201. God, if there's anybody ready today to receive your love, I'll do my best. Send me. To anyone ready for your forgiveness, your healing, and your freedom, God will answer that prayer. Don't pretend to be perfect. Be content to say, hi, my name is Roger. This has been my struggle. But I can't wait to tell you what God's done. I can't wait to tell you the difference God's making, and he can do this in your story as well. God will take our weakness and replace it with his strength. He'll take our pain and replace it with his peace. He'll take our helplessness and replace it with his hope. Always remember, my friends, what the Bible teaches. God is not the creator of evil and suffering. Always remember, my friends, what the Bible teaches. Though suffering isn't good, God can use it to accomplish good. Always remember, my friends, what the Bible teaches. The day is coming when suffering will end and God will judge evil. Always remember, my friends, what the Bible teaches. We decide whether to turn bitter or turn to God and allow him to recycle the pain of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Always remember what the Bible teaches, my friends, that our suffering today will pale in comparison to the good things he has planned for those who follow him. Always remember, my friends, in happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. In every moment, thank God. Let's pray. Father, take us to that place where in your creation care, you will recycle the pain and the hurt of our story, where we don't have to be perfect, but we can be real, and you will use that to be a blessing and an encouragement to those around us. Thank you, Father. In this moment, I'm not the pastor, I'm Roger, and I'm saying thank you, Father, for the way you're recycling the pain in my life and allowing me to encourage even one. Do it again across this room on the west side of Rochester and beyond. Take the pain. Fill us with your presence so that we can make a difference to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. As we respond to these words, this is a culmination not just of this morning, but of the past, gosh, I think it's been 8 weeks, as we've been immersed in Celebrate Recovery. And something about the word recovery that I just want to point out is that it never ends, right? I'm not immersed in Celebrate Recovery, but I do get that it never ends. We have to keep coming back to God because these hurts and habits and hangups won't just go away overnight as soon as we give them over to God. Of course, He will help and He will be there in the middle, but those outside elements don't just disappear. And as we come and we reflect now, there will be times when it can be hard. And I think, and I don't know everything, but that the most wonderful thing we can do is to seek God in those times when we are hurting. And personally, the times that I felt the most love from God is when I've been in that bottom place. And I'm almost surprised, I don't know why, but He's already there. And He's there to pick me up time and time again. And all He wants me to do is reach out to Him and to praise Him. Even when we want those hurts to go away, just trust in our God that He has it under control, whether He makes it go away, makes it better, or leaves it there for a while, because we need to sit in that. So as you listen to these words, I invite you to sing along, reflect, pray, kneel, but just know that God is there, always. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, oh, right now, just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? And I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But I know you're able. Yes, I know. stand, please? Let us sing these so familiar words to our God. Then when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, 'cause it is.
You know, the Spirit of the Lord is here.